At the top of our program last week, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder recommended another increase in government spending on early childhood education in the state. Recent studies underscoring the benefits of early childhood have created believers across the political spectrum. President Obama has issued a call for universal preschool. Meanwhile, educators and researchers are engaged in a robust debate over how best to teach these young learners. For example, should kindergarten classes last all day? And should the earliest schooling begin to focus more on academic? Well, to explore a few of these topics, Current State welcomes Tanya Wright. Tanya is an associate professor of education here at Michigan State and a former kindergarten teacher herself. Welcome to Current State. I think when many people hear early childhood, they may well think of the pre-kindergarten years, but I'd like to start with a look at the noticeable increase across the country in all-day kindergarten. This really took off beginning about 10 years ago. What brought about this change?
So really, I think there are two issues at play. The first is, let me just say what we mean by all-day kindergarten. We mean a six-hour day instead of half-day kindergarten, which is about a three-hour day. So what used to happen is that kids would be dropped off either for a morning, 9 to 12, or an afternoon, maybe 1 to 4, in kindergarten, and that was half-day kindergarten. And now more and more kids are going 9 to 3, the typical school day, to kindergarten. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is simply that this idea that parents are around to drop their kids off for 3 hours in the middle of the day is not really realistic to current family structures and the fact that both parents, or one parent, if there's one parent in the family, are working during the day. So it's almost impossible to drop your kids off for 3 hours in the middle of the day. For me, for example, I don't know what I'd do to pick up my child in the middle of the day at noon because I'm at work. Another issue that's at play is a lot of evidence that shows that by the time children arrive at kindergarten, there are huge gaps in reading, early reading, and math development between kids who are growing up in poverty and their more economically advantaged peers. And so there's a lot of concern about how schools close that gap and getting kids started as soon as possible to make progress.
Are there legitimate pros and cons as far as you're concerned? Are there any arguments against all-day preschool?
So I don't think, kindergarten and preschool, we have to separate. So
kindergarten
is really five-year-olds. And recently our state actually changed the cutoff date. It used to be December 1st, and now they've moved it to September 1st. So they're busy moving it to September 1st. So we're really talking about kids who are five, not kids who are four or three anymore. So I think the arguments against full-day kindergarten might be that's too long a day for children, but most children are in childcare even younger than that, especially if their parents work for the full day. So I think the bigger arguments are about what's happening during that full day. What is the quality of what's going on with children, and is what's happening with the children during that day appropriate to their developmental stage? So, if kids are sitting and doing worksheets for 6 hours, we'd be really, really concerned. If the teachers are reading books to them and doing fun science activities and taking them out to play and letting them do dress up and things like that during the day, then we think, why not? It's a great way for them to spend their time.
Where districts have adopted all-day kindergarten or six-hour kindergarten, is it too early to see an impact?
So nationally, we have data. We have a national data set that was the kindergarten class from 1998-99. And that's the data that's usually most cited because we've been able to track those kids through their schooling. And what they found is that kids in full-day kindergarten learn more than kids in half-day kindergarten, which is, not surprising because they're in school more, and somebody is teaching them things about literacy and mathematics that they might not get in their home. So we do have some initial data, but it's pretty old data now, and the federal government has just now started to collect data on a new class of kids. I think it's 2011. So we'll soon have data on how full-day kindergarten is impacting those children.
It can get confusing for the layperson just because these studies can take you in all different kinds of directions. Now, the spread of the Common Core standards apparently plays a role here as well. How so?
So one of the critiques of the Common Core standards is that they're pushing down academic demands on younger and younger children. And also that we'll be able, if all states are using the same standards, we'll be able to compare across states to see how kids are doing. So that's some impetus for states to want to make their kindergartners a little older because they're likely to be able to deal with more academic content and also have them in school a little longer to meet these standards. I'll say that in my opinion, the kindergarten standards are not unreasonable. Everything on there is what I would want for my child by the end of kindergarten. I'd want them to understand a book when a teacher reads it to them. I'd want them to start to learn their letters and sounds. I'd want them to start to try writing, drawing pictures, and labeling their pictures with words. I think that's all pretty typical stuff for a 5-6-year-old to be doing at that age. So I don't find them to be too scary.
There's a recent study that's come out that's gotten quite a bit of publicity. The study originated from the University of Chicago and Vanderbilt, and the authors, and this concerns what gets taught to kindergartners specifically. The authors wrote, quote, "We find a consistent and positive effect of exposure to advanced content for all children in both reading and mathematics. We find that all children, regardless of their early childhood care experiences, benefit from more exposure to advanced mathematics content." What do you make of that? It sounds like you're an adherent of that. You're basically in agreement with the authors.
Yeah, I think one thing to say is that sounds really scary, advanced content in mathematics.
Yes.
But I just want to make it clear that they're not sitting and doing high school algebra where someone's giving them a lecture. What they mean by advanced content for literacy, for example, is teachers are reading stories and helping kids to understand the story and the vocabulary words, the meaning of words in that story, or that kids are learning their letters and sounds and early writing, you know, development like I described before. When they're comparing to the less advanced, they're really talking about those sort of skills you used to think of maybe as associated with kindergarten, or really more drill skills like, what letter is this? This is an A. What number is this? This is a 2. So here they're talking about skills that in more advanced, they're talking about how kids can apply their knowledge in ways that I'd really hope kids are doing. So it's nothing super fancy or advanced. And it's not really surprising that when we expose kids to doing, when we expect more of kids, they meet the challenge, right? If I want to read a great book to a kid and have a great discussion with that child to see if that child understands, then that child is going to be more interested in reading books and understanding more books, and it's going to be helpful.
When you hear someone criticize this trend, though, on the grounds that we may be overemphasizing academic success at too early an age, how do you respond to that?
Look, there are some kindergarten classrooms out there where the children are sitting at their desks, they're filling in worksheets, they're doing things that looked like how I wouldn't even want slightly older kids to learn that way, really sort of old-fashioned school, sit down, answer the worksheet or read something, answer the questions at the end, or a teacher lecturing at you, and that's not appropriate, right? So is learning appropriate? Interesting ideas, learning about their world, interesting things about how a plant grows, for example, reading a book about it. Is that great for little kids? Sure, they want to learn about their world. Does it have to be done in an appropriate way that's play-based and just right for kids' development? Absolutely. So I think when parents are concerned about this pushing down of academics, I'm sure those parents want their kid to learn stuff. I'm sure all the time they explain interesting ideas. They take their kids to the library and the science museum and all the wonderful things we'd want to happen in a kindergarten classroom. The problem becomes when the quality of what's occurring in the kindergarten class is inappropriate for the child. So mm-hmm. It's really about how it's delivered, not whether or not kids can learn academic mm-hmm. things.
I think anecdotally this gets interesting too, because we do hear and read more about school related stress in most cases for older students than for kindergarten. But I did just hear an account of a kindergarten setting, I believe, where instead of nap time, the parents of one particular child wanted them to do math problems. So nap time's been eliminated in lieu of math problems.
Right. So there's some, you know, extreme situations. I actually think that a rest time is actually still mandated in most states for young children if they're in school for more than a certain amount of time. But again, how that rest time is interpreted is going to differ from classroom to classroom. In my classroom, kindergartners didn't sleep anymore. They're usually too old to be really taking a nap, but they loved to look at books. So is that considered doing something academic, or is that something wonderful you would want your child to do? Even if they were resting at home, you'd probably let them look at some books, right? So nothing bad is happening to them. I think there's some concern about standardized testing being pushed down on young children, and what we're doing as far as assessing young children and saying, you know, you must know this by a certain age, and not allowing for a range of development that would be expected. And that's concerning. But again, that's not about full day or half day. That's the quality of what's occurring in that time and whether it's done in a way that it's appropriate for children of that age.
Here in Michigan and elsewhere, equal access has become an issue as well, particularly with regard to pre-K, I believe, early childhood education. How so?
Well, I mean, in exciting news, our state just got $50 million in Race to the Top funds to expand early education, to expand really the Great Start program, which provides pre-K to children who need it, largely low-income kids who don't qualify for Head Start or want an alternative to Head Start. So it's really exciting, the expansion of pre-K.
But the waiting lists, at least in years past, have far exceeded the number of openings.
Right. So that's, I think, why we're so excited to get $15 million in federal bucks to expand this. But yeah, it is an issue of access, right? So for families that can pay for high-quality pre-K or high-quality childcare, that's wonderful. But families who can't, what do they do with their children during the day, especially while moms and dads are at work? What are we doing for our children that's good for them, that gives them a cognitively stimulating day, that's appropriate for their age group? So it's a big concern. I think that's why we're really happy about the money that we just got from the feds, and hopefully more money on it from our state as well. But again, it's the quality of what happens in those programs that is as important as whether or not they exist, right? And the existence of a low-quality program is not going to help our kids.
We're talking with Michigan State University Associate Professor of Education, Tanya Wright, about changing approaches to kindergarten and the changing landscape of early childhood education. And Tanya is a former kindergarten teacher herself. As a former kindergarten teacher, I have to ask, how do you feel about all of this attention on kindergarten and early childhood education? Does it surprise you?
No, I've been waiting. I've been waiting for it to happen.
Does it make you
want
to be back in the classroom?
Yes, sometimes it does make me want to be back in the classroom, but luckily I get to spend a lot of time teaching teachers and working with teachers who are in classrooms with kindergartners. I think those of us who study early childhood have just been waiting for this. I think there's been more and more evidence in the last little while about how kids develop into literacy. They don't and mathematics, they don't just one day become old enough to start doing reading. It's how they learn about it over time, from watching adults, from exploring. And a lot of that happens in the early childhood. And then we also know, like I said earlier, that there are huge gaps between our kids growing up in poverty and our more affluent children or middle-class children by the time kids get to kindergarten, which really speaks to the need for having high-quality programs before kids even get to school.
I really want to ask you if you're following the read or fail, the so-called read or fail debate that's going on, that's about to be launched into again at the state capitol. The legislature will debate a measure requiring reading by the third grade. Proponents say students are at a disadvantage if they're promoted without that skill. Opponents say holding kids back actually does more harm. What do you make of that debate?
I think this law is very problematic. I'll tell you why. I think you're blaming 8- and 9-year-olds for things that are out of their control. The estimates are about 50,000 children would be held back. So we're not talking about, you know, a couple of kids that are either their parent, they're not showing up at school or something like that, right? I mean, 8- and 9-year-olds want to learn what they're taught. They're excited to learn, but But they're the ones who are going to be held back, right? And we know that kids who are held back, there are all sorts of problems later on. The other thing about this law that's very problematic is they're planning to hold children back, but there's no money attached for intensive intervention or any kind of special help for these children. So it would basically be another year of the same.
Isn't there some amount of funding attached to interventions prior to the third grade?
I think there's some discussion of it and some money for pilot of that, at least the version I saw in November. But there's not money for that's great. But these kids who we hold back, yeah. What are they going to get? They're going to get another year of the same. And if it didn't work the first time, why do we think it's going to work the second time? It doesn't make any sense. And then another problem with it is really passing the buck on paying for helping our struggling readers, right? These kids are going to have a 14th year of school, but that will be paid for later on when they get to that 14th year of school. And right now, what we need is money for intervention, intensive instruction, which usually means smaller teacher-child ratios, more times a week, and reading instruction that is really targeted, where the teacher's figuring out exactly why that child is struggling and giving them the right kind of instruction for what they need. Mm. And that costs money, more teachers, smaller ratios, and so just holding kids back for another year of what they've already had is sort of blaming the child for something that's not working for them. It's not like these kids aren't working hard enough or are big slackers in school. They're 8, they're 9, they're really little kids.
Tanya, your specific area of focus here at MSU is teacher education. Are your students aware of all of the debate, all of this vigorous debate that's going on right now, and how many things are being discussed that maybe weren't discussed in years past?
I hope so. I know that my master's level students are in the classroom. I teach a lot of master's level students who are gaining extra expertise to be reading specialists to work with struggling readers. They are very aware of all of this. I think our undergrads are just starting to learn, but I do think that they are learning, at least in our classes, about the importance of the early years for kids learning. And how critical those early years are. So I think you'd find many of them to be proponents of great teaching and learning happening for young children.
Tanya Wright's been our guest here on Current State. Tanya's an associate professor of education here at Michigan State, a former kindergarten teacher. We've been talking about the changing landscape of early education and kindergarten education. Thank you, Tanya.
It's my pleasure.